We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
In the studio with me for this segment, I have Richard Zapien. He is the garden co-director at UC Riverside Agricultural Operations and Panda, student intern at the garden at UCR. So thank you guys for joining me today. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Steve, for having us.
Thank you.
Now, before we started this interview, we were talking about how UCR is considered an agricultural school, but you say UCR isn't actually an agricultural school or considered an agricultural school. Give us some history and background about that.
It all started with as a citrus research station over 100 years ago, and with time it's developed into the university we see today, and we still conduct a lot of research there, varying from citrus to row crops.
So Panda, you were saying at UC Riverside there isn't actually an agricultural program.
Yeah, so it started off as a citrus experimentation station, and it's grown to UC Riverside now. There's agricultural land dedicated to research, but there's no actual agricultural program for the students to participate in.
Okay, now we're going to be talking about the garden at UCR. Tell us about the garden.
The garden has been a community garden since the 1970s. It has been in different locations around the campus, but I think now we've found a home for it, and it's located on the actual agricultural operations site. The community garden is about 5 acres. We also have another section that's at 3 acres, so totaling about 8 acres.
So even though UC Riverside isn't considered an agricultural school or doesn't have an agricultural program per se for students to participate in, you do have this garden that students can participate in and grow their own produce. So tell us more about the garden. What is its purpose? I imagine sustainability, but what else?
Sustainability and also providing healthy choices for the students. We've also partnered up with the dining department. So as part of the sustainability, we're trying to produce our own produce and have the students grow food for the students. And that way, they're also being educated on where food comes from and how everything is worked out on the farm.
So who takes care of these plots? Do you have student volunteers? Who is farming that land?
I myself am out there every day, so I kind of coordinate the operation, but they do operate tractors, they do operate all the equipment that we have accessible to them, and they are actually planting from seed and actually harvesting the actual produce and delivering it to the dining services.
So if you're using big machinery like that, these must be a pretty large lots.
Yes, on our production side, we have about 5 acres, so there's a lot of land. As time goes by, we are accruing equipment, but due to budgets, you know, we're slowly going.
Okay, so you have these plots where you're planting produce and vegetables for the garden services department at UC Riverside. What type of things are you planting?
Okay, on the production side, we have a list of everything that the dining services would purchase that month. So we plan out 3 to 4 months, depending on the growing days of the crop, and we prepare for that. And then also on the community plots, we allow the community to come in and have their own plot, which is a 10 by 10. We don't charge. They have water and they have hand tools to work. They bring their own plants that they want to grow, and they will plant it and take care of it, and then they harvest it and take their produce home.
You say that the community can be involved in getting these community plots. How can one go about signing up to get a plot?
All they have to do is go online to the rgarden.ucr.edu, and there's a link that you could apply for a plot. We have redesigned to accommodate more people. There was a long waiting list, but we're going to start working on that waiting list, and hopefully we could accommodate everybody on that list. So yeah, all you have to do is go online and apply.
So the individuals come down and they manage a plot, they plant, they weed, they harvest their produce or whatever they're growing. Can groups get in on this as well? Can groups manage a plot?
Yes, we do see a lot of families come in as a group, and then they'll take turns coming in on different days. That way it's not such a burden for one person. Or we also have individuals come in and also take care of their own plots, people that have more time, a lot of retirees also.
Yeah, adding on to the group thing, I'm in charge of a plot as well as working at the garden. I am a part of the Native American Student Programs there on campus. And we're in charge of a plot in the garden as well. And so we have a 10 by 10 that we'll be planting in. So it'll be myself, but also a group of Native American students there on campus that'll be participating in the garden as well. So we do have plenty of groups, you know, participating in the plot area.
We also have faculty and staff participating. It's not just students and the community member. This is a way that we're trying to engage the community to come out to UC Riverside. And along with that, we're thinking about developing larger plots for larger groups, which would be 10 by 20s. They'll be able to come out. And then also on those 10 by 20s, we're thinking about doing workshops for people that want to learn but just don't have the knowledge now. And we're going to start with basic planting and then all the way to advanced, reaching out to the nurseries in the area for any type of training that they would like to acquire.
Well, that'd be very nice. So, Panda, you say you have a lot with other Native American students. What actually do you plant on your lot?
So currently we're focusing on California native plants like chia and blue dicks, the flowers, and different things like that. So our focus is Native American plants and also not just California natives, but also plants that are useful culturally to Native Americans in the Southwest and, you know, throughout the regions in this area. And yeah, we'll see some sage plants and some lavender plants in there as well.
So what do you do with your crops after you harvest them?
So what we do with them, is, especially like sage, we harvest them and then we bundle them and we dry them to use them for ceremony, for different things like that.
So Richard, you say you have a big production lot. I imagine it takes many people to take care of that lot. You've got faculty and student members. How many people does it take?
Yes, we do. We have students come out every day. We have about, I would say, 8 interns, student interns that go out. We also have a volunteer. He's actually a doctor, agriculture engineer that comes out daily also that helps out. And the students are actually hands-on. Everything is hands-on.
So you work with dining services at the university, but can you give me an example of some of the things that you plant, some of the crops that you plant?
For example, right now we're just wrapping up our harvest. We just had some leeks, and we had broccoli, romaine lettuce, and radicchio lettuce. And this was over the winter. We're about to finish the last harvest. We harvest weekly and we deliver weekly, and the students participate in every part of that.
Oh, do you have a growth cycle?
The growth cycle is pretty much what we do is we'll grow what's in season, but we do plan out about 4 months ahead of time to make sure that the production is ready as it's needed.
And tell us again how volunteers can look into possibly getting a plot.
All they have to really do is go into the website at ourgarden.ucr.edu, and there's a link there that they could click on and sign up for a plot, and then you'll be on the list.
And what is the overall goal for the garden? I imagine you want to expand.
Yes, the overall goal is to bring awareness of the food insecurity in the area and also to teach people healthier habits of eating. It's incredible. I harvest broccoli maybe a month ago for the first time there, and people were tasting fresh broccoli, and they're willing to eat broccoli now because it tastes that much better. It was a different taste. And then also bringing in the community closer together, that's another goal. And sustainability is a major one.
Now, do you grow everything organically?
We have two sides. In the actual community garden, which is the 3-acre section, is organic. That whole area is organic. And then we do have the 5 acres that's more conventional. It's what you would see out in the bigger farms.
On the organic side, since you're not using chemical pesticides, what type of things do you use for pest control?
For pest control, we usually use labeled organic pesticides. Okay. That's sometimes one of the things that we educate people on. A lot of people believe that organic produce has never been sprayed. But yes, it does get sprayed, but it's all with organic pesticides.
And what is the definition of an organic pesticide?
I believe organic pesticides are more just naturally sourced. For an example, our director, Peggy, gave us an example of an oil that we can use to spray one of the trees that are being infested with pests. And that oil is just naturally sourced from a plant, and it's just literally just an oil being diluted with water and sprayed onto a plant, and it helps prevent the pest from consuming the tree.
Great. So that's just a natural pesticide, something that's found in nature and that isn't harmful to nature.
Yes, neem oil is what he's referring to. And then we also use a lot of garlic extract, a lot of strong smelling, like cinnamon, those type of stuff. And then companies will incorporate that, and then they'll register the product as organic, and it'll be OMRI approved. And that's what we use for that area.
Great. Now, what would you say are some of the major accomplishments that the garden has provided?
So I guess one of the major accomplishments so far has been our ability to provide for our pantry on campus. Previously to our involvement with dining, we would provide produce to our pantry to help fight food insecurity on campus. And so our pantry is a campus resource, a student resource on campus for like the emergency food resource for students who are in need can go and get, you know, canned foods, dry foods, like cereal, you know, beans, rice, things like that. But then also we come in and we provide fresh produce for those students as well. So not only do they have, you know, canned foods and all these things, but then they have a healthy alternative, which are like lettuce, tomato, things like that. And so we were, I believe last year from January to June, which was our main growing seasons, where we were able to produce over 1,000 pounds of produce for them.
Wow.
And so that's a big accomplishment. And then I know recently for myself, we're starting up a CSA program through our garden, which is a community supported agriculture program, which would be basically sourcing a box of produce straight from the garden. So straight from the art garden to students. So it's just another avenue for students to access the fresh produce that's being grown on their campus.
So it's not just orange trees anymore at the garden. You provide all kinds of produce.
Pretty much we have anything you think of that we can grow in this area, we'll grow it.
And do you accept donations?
Yes, we do accept donations on our website. There's also a link that will say want to donate and help the garden. We are looking for partnerships with corporations and local businesses. You know, we're in need of a tractor, and we have a small, you know, 12 horsepower tractor that we use, and we're trying to use it as a commercial tractor, which is difficult. We do support a lot of the community churches and that also have gardens. And right now we're also come to the point that we can't transport our students and volunteers out to the sites. So, you know, we are also in need of a van or vehicle that would help accommodate all that community service.
And are there specific hours that people can go to work on their plots?
Yes, usually we have a gate code they'll have if they have a plot. And usually from 8 to 5 is when we see the most activity, Monday through Friday, and also Saturday and Sundays. They have the gate code, and they come in and work, and they'll bring the kids along and grandma and grandpa.
Great. Yeah. If there's one last thing as we get ready to close here that you would like to make a point about the garden and about all the stuff that you do there, what would that be?
So at the garden, what we're trying to do, again, is localize our food system there on campus. Again, we have issues of food insecurity, sustainability issues. You know, we're dealing with smog in Southern California. But as we continue to produce here hyper-locally on campus, you know, we're eliminating some of the issues that come with agriculture and big agriculture. But again, if we continue to shift towards, you know, organic and hyper-local agriculture, you know, we'll continue to increase our food system. We'll continue to increase our involvement with dining and feeding our students fresh produce straight from their campus, from their students, their fellow students, and from their, you know, fellow staff, you know. And so that's kind of what we're doing. We're trying to reduce, you know, the impacts of agriculture historically and, you know, introduce sustainability, introduce, you know, food security, food access, and fresh produce access.
Okay, Richard Zapien, Garden Co-Director at UC Riverside Agricultural Operations, and Panda, a student intern at the garden at UCR. And we've been talking about food sustainability and what they do at the garden at UCR. So thanks for joining me today, guys. I appreciate it.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you for having us.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.